You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome, to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is still the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you would like on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a very busy show coming up for you today. It's Monday, so Civic Media News Director Shelley Pittman will be here after the 9:30 news to give us a little breakdown and an update of all that is going on, particularly in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a new candidate for Wisconsin governor.
Indeed we do.
Who has thrown the hat into the ring.
Yes.
So we will talk about that with Shelley, among many other things. Dr. Kristen Lierley, friend of the show and host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
Aptly titled.
Measles continue to spread in Wisconsin.
Yes.
We have more measles cases.
Yep.
Used to be we eradicated measles.
Used to be you'd say measles, someone would go, what?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Measles cases are continuing to grow in Wisconsin. What does that mean for us? For those of us who, I don't know, don't want to get measles,
yeah,
be exposed to measles, you have young children who you would rather not have get measles, we'll be talking to Dr. Kristen Lierley after the 10 o'clock news, last half hour of the show, as we always do.
Mm-hmm.
We lighten things up with a segment called Audio Sorbet.
Ooh.
And today, Greg and Calvin have put together a list of things that you want to make sure I'm updated on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're good and they're neutral good and great. They're not we're not going to come into audio sorbet with. So then this happened in a world. No, it's going to be we're going to catch you up on the news you may have missed.
Excellent. That's coming up towards the end of the show after 10:30, and then we will wrap it all up as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing today, the see you later alligator. It's pretty much what you think. Kind of along those lines. So I hope you can stick around for that. We did want to start off with this from the Wisconsin Examiner, and Baylor Spears has the byline, Trump administration cancels grants that support deaf and blind students and special education teachers. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but school is back in session.
Correct.
All over.
Yeah.
Kids are back in school.
Oh yeah, we're in
mid-September.
I can't imagine there's a school that isn't in, but to say yes, they are back in school.
The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction says the U.S. Department of Education has abruptly, because they're real good at that, abruptly terminated nearly $11 million for two grant programs that have been helping Wisconsin serve kids with vision and hearing loss and others getting special ed services.
Okay.
Now, we've talked many times in the past about how special ed in Wisconsin has been underfunded for decades.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's the matching dollars.
The private schools.
Yeah.
And charter schools.
School choice programs.
School choice programs get considerably more state dollars for their special ed than public schools get for their special ed.
So we need those dollars from the government.
Yes. Wisconsin is one of several states affected by these cuts. Others include Washington, Oregon, a number of New England states. Wisconsin Superintendent Jill Underle called on the Trump administration to reconsider the decision. She says, quote, make no mistake, losing these funds will directly impact our ability to serve some of our most vulnerable kids. Wisconsin had planned work with these funds, including direct support for deaf and blind learners, their families, and efforts to recruit and retain new special ed teachers. That is a huge component.
Mm-hmm.
Getting and training and keeping special ed teachers.
This is something where I would say, how much money was it again?
$11 million.
I would say in a modern world with the understanding that not only do you want to have kids learning in the best way they can to retain the knowledge, but with young people with special needs, it makes even more sense to invest, I would say, more money into these programs to get the best teachers, to get the best technology available so kids can understand what they need to understand, especially if they have special needs. Cutting these, I mean, Jane, tell me a more clear, concise way that the GOP, the Trump administration, Madison, Washington do not care about education when they're cutting funding for this.
And in the grand scheme of things, my friends, $11 million is not a lot of money.
At all.
It really isn't.
And I guess that's the thing is, you know, one of the things that I was constantly asking the question is, make it make sense to me. Is there a, how does doing this make us better? How does it make America great again? Please tell me why cutting this money for those students and those teachers will have positive effects for Wisconsin and the nation.
This is their explanation. The Trump administration said these programs, to which they are cutting $11 million, reflect the prior administration's priorities and preferences, which conflict with those of the current administration. So is there some DEI, God forbid, portion in this, and that is what goes against the policy preferences and priorities of the new of the Trump administration? The first program to be affected by this cut, the Wisconsin Deafblind Technical Assistance Project, that helps with technology tools, coaching, family support, professional training for young people up to 21 with vision and hearing loss. We want these people in working programs.
Yes.
Right?
I imagine these individuals want to be educated in a way that allows them to go out into the world and contribute for themselves and their community. And you just asked a question about, you know, whether it's a DEI problem. I'm going to take it one step further on the petty scale, because there was a veterans program that was signed into law a few months ago. And the only difference in the law was it would now say Donald Trump instead of Joe Biden. So I wouldn't be do not be surprised if the money comes back to Wisconsin in a new version of this.
Of the exact same bill.
But it just has his name on there because it has to, because this is a petty little man who needs all of the adulation because his father never told him that he loved him. But don't be surprised if that's the reason. Or they're just canceling it all outright because they don't care about kids in education, unless they go to private school, of course.
Well, that's different. Yeah, that's different. Yeah. The program currently serves 170 students. Of those, 85% have four or more disabilities. Yeah. 85%. $11 million, two programs. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, we're talking about the Trump administration canceling $11 million in grants that help deaf and blind students and special ed teachers. Jean from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Jean. Thanks so much for joining us.
Whoop.
Jean?
Jean? All right, we'll come back to Jean in a moment when we... it's a three-way call now. We're doing this technology.
Jean was looping someone in.
The thing I'll say to this as well, and I mentioned this last week with Angela Lang when she was co-hosting the show with me, is that we don't get calls from people who are attempting to justify the things that this administration does anymore because they're not able to be justified. My point is that all these individuals who said Trump is winning, Trump is amazing, Trump is getting us back on track, all these policies that he's putting out, like this one, you can't defend them. They're indefensible. That's why we don't get calls from people anymore saying, well, you just don't understand. Tell me how canceling $11 million for kids who have special needs and young adults makes America great again. How do you stand behind it? How do you say, yes, I like that. Why? Do you think you're going to get that money? You're not. Billionaires are going to get that money.
The other program being cut is the State Personnel Development Grant, which focuses on helping address Wisconsin's critical special ed teacher shortage and helping out with recruitment, retention, and development. Now, I'm sure there's probably an argument that this is already being covered by some other program. This is already being covered by some other grant. So are they doubling up on grants? Are they? I'm throwing things out there.
Okay, but
again, in the grand scheme of things, $11 million is nothing.
No.
What was the amount that they're going to spend for the Garden of Heroes?
$250 million, I thought it was.
$250 million.
It was $45 million for the parade. I thought it was $250 million. Let me check really quick. I just want to make sure I have that correct, but I felt like
again, priorities just makes me go, hmm. And yeah. Every time Jill Underle, head of the Department of Education, at a time when schools in every corner of Wisconsin are struggling to find and keep special ed educators, cutting this money is unconscionable and harmful to every student.
It looks like $40 million to establish and maintain the National Garden of American Heroes.
$40 million.
$40 million. So my mistake. That number felt right for, oh, it's 250 statues. My apologies.
Oh.
But still, it's just the, yeah.
We have $40 million to spend on that,
mm-hmm.
but not $11 million to help kids with special needs.
And if you're right as far as maybe they're doubling up or it's a redundancy of funding or it's able to be covered and therefore the government doesn't have to give as much, that's absolutely fine too. It goes back to what we've been talking about since January. If you can find efficiencies, if you can get rid of wasteful spending, go for it.
Right.
But it never seems to be the case. When you say things to justify the cutting, it goes against
policy.
Priorities. Okay, then explain to me then what that means. Well, because you love saying why you're going to do things, but you don't give me details.
We've spent a lot of time talking about there doesn't seem to be a lot of involved thought processes behind these decisions.
Some would say there's no thought processes.
It's just like, well, let's cut that and we'll cut that mm-hmm. and we'll cut that and we'll cut that because this is the number we want.
Yes.
Without looking at the ramifications and the consequences of these decisions.
Looking at you, Doge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And saying we're going to cut something, especially cutting education, which people call for the destruction of the Department of Education, this makes them look really tough. And maybe like, we're telling the states that they're not going to bilk us for any more of your tax dollars. These are kids who have special needs and they need to learn somehow. Or what do you want them to stay home?
Well,
get them on Medicaid?
Actually, but they want to kill the whole Department of Education.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So seems to be they're just kind of chipping and chipping and chipping away. What's going to be left for the Department of Education to run? They're killing all the educational programs.
Yeah, because nothing falls in line with the policies of the Trump administration. And unfortunately, they don't really give us a nice detailed understanding of what those policies and priorities are. So it just leads me to believe that they hate education. They hate public school education. And
in
they
particular.
Just, they don't want people of middle class and lower having access to a decent education because they just be workers. Just go. We're losing all those. We're kicking all the undocumented people out of the country. Go work in the fields.
There's lots of those jobs available.
Go work in the fields because that's your place.
If you... There are some very, very disturbing articles from farmers.
Yes.
Speaking of
oh, yes.
And I know you talked to Darren Van Roon last week.
Yes.
So, yeah, there's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, Wisconsin is getting flood relief.
Yeah.
Thanks to who?
Yeah.
Yes, we're giving credit where credit is due. That's what we do here on Matt and Air on Air. Coming up on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Calvi, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. One final.
One more time into the breach, good friends.
One last free ticket Friday for this Brewers season this coming Friday.
You mean the playoff-bound Brewers?
That would be the team.
Yeah.
Yes, our Milwaukee Brewers. This coming Friday, you want to be listening for keywords, starting with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9, then our show from 9 to 11, Tom Hartman 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn 4 to 6. We will each have a keyword for you that you text in via the Civic Media app only. And then you are in the running for a four-pack of tickets to the Mel. Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets.
Those are fancy with the cushion
seats. They're good seats.
And there's carpeting in the hallways.
They're special.
They're very special.
They are special.
Although I will say, I always think it's like whenever I've had the opportunity to get club level seats, and I'm always very appreciative because I'm never buying them.
Right.
But you're like, oh, I'm going up a special staircase. I have to show my
special ticket.
There's a guy right there, and there's a locked door. And then and then as you're walking in, you're like, oh, look at all these suites where way cooler people are having food and drinks. And I just look in like a peasant who got free tickets. But yeah, it's very, very nice.
It is nice.
There isn't a bad seat at the stadium, but these are really nice.
They're fabulous. And lest you think that we actually don't do this. Oh, no, we do. We've had Chris and Sun Prairie and Kimberly and Wauwatosa and Terry from Cross Plains and Jim in Brookfield and Penny from Plainfield. They have all won, and you can be a winner, too. So join us this coming Friday, our final free ticket Friday of the season, starting this Friday coming up 6 a.m. with Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. This happened while I was away, and we do like to give credit when credit is due.
You were gone?
Well, not during the flood.
No, like, when did you leave?
I was gone for a couple weeks. Oh, you just noticed that now? Thank you.
Oh, no wonder. No wonder I was sitting in the wrong chair the whole time.
Something seemed off.
Seriously, weird. It seemed so much cooler for a few weeks.
Yes. The terrible flooding that we had in southeastern Wisconsin, where we got a 1,000-year flood. Mm-hmm. While I was away, very happy to see this.
Yeah.
President Trump has approved $29.8 million in disaster aid for Wisconsin flood recovery. And he's crediting Senator Ron Johnson. We have been critical of Senator Johnson in the past. Or, I don't know, not necessarily doing a lot of tangible things for his actual constituents.
Mm-hmm.
Does a lot of things out there.
He loves
hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. He's all about that.
The vaccine in Georgia.
Oh, yes, them. Senator Ron Johnson getting the credit for securing this money. Trump tweeted, "I just informed Senator Ron Johnson that based on his request,
oh my God,
I am approving $29.8 million for the wonderful state of Wisconsin to help them recover from the major storms and flooding they experienced in August." Here's the kicker. We had huge victories in Wisconsin in 2016, 2020, and 2024.
Oh!
And it's my honor to deliver big for Wisconsinites. There's just one little detail there, President Trump. You did not win the 2020 election in Wisconsin. Joe Biden won in Wisconsin and the entirety of the 2020 presidential election.
I mean, that was a political spanking. That was decisive. That wasn't even like close. You did not win in Wisconsin. Also, as a point of order, too, the other thing that actually makes me a little more than Senator Ron Johnson was the last person of all of our elected officials, all Republicans, all Democrats signed a letter saying, "President Trump, please release this aid money to Wisconsin." He was the last one to join. And he didn't join because he wanted to. If you're asking me, he joined because people were like, "You got to put your name on this, dude. If you don't put your name on this, this is bad."
Looks bad.
Yeah, but
looks
bad. But now it looks great because last to be first, the first to be last. Thank you, Ron Johnson, and I'm sorry, President Trump, not congratulating you on your 2020 victory of Wisconsin.
Yeah, because you didn't win.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin, and you didn't win the 2020 presidential election. Tony on the live stream, do we think Ron Johnson actually did anything? Or is that just who Trump wanted to give credit to? Fair question.
You think Tom Tiffany's sitting there going, "I did something
too. Hey, what about me? What about me?
I want to be governor of Wisconsin. Ron Johnson doesn't even like Wisconsin. He doesn't even live here."
But we do try.
I tried.
To be fair.
Balanced.
Give credit where credit is due. We got, Wisconsin is getting the money, which people need. There are 54 homes completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Completely destroyed.
And one thing we've been doing, folks, you know, you can always go to civicmedia.us/shows and look at past episodes. We're talking to people, including Brittany Merlot. We talked to various individuals about prepping for the future. Because this is not about an if, this is about a when. Because things are changing. So yes, we want to make sure that we're all We are all capable of being prepared for this. And one of the things I will say right up front, because one of the first things I did after the floods, I talked to my mortgage lender about floodplains. You got to make sure.
Because those lines change.
Those lines change. Yes. You should get a notice, but if it's mail, who knows? So talk to your mortgage broker, talk to your local municipalities, and ask about floodplains. See how you can be up to date on whether or not you have that status changed.
Very, very important.
Yes.
It is important because this is not going away.
Correct.
We have news coming up next, and then we have a new race in the race for governor.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Pittman, Civic Media News Director, with all the details coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us as well at 855-752-4842. Call or text or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us every Monday at this time. She is Civic Media's News Director. Charlie Pittman is here. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Jane. Thanks for having me in the studio.
Good to have you in studio. Nice to have actual humans join us.
Thanks.
I mean, well, we like having guests in the studio.
Okay, all right.
It's nice. So, yes, a lot going on. And yet another name has jumped into the Wisconsin governor race. And
yes.
She's been a guest on our program numerous times. Kelda Royce has made her announcement.
Yep. She announced in a video this morning, early this morning. And this isn't her first time running for governor. She ran in 2018. So this is her second time around. Obviously, she's a state senator. She was elected to Fred Risser's seat in Madison in 2020. And so she's been in the state legislature. She served two terms in the state assembly before that, from 2009 to 2013. So
she's got some background.
A while in Wisconsin politics.
Yep. And what does she say? Has she said anything about her motivation for running this time around? Because we do have a couple other Democrats who have some name recognition. David Crowley jumped in.
He made his announcement official while you were away. But yeah, the field is growing.
Yeah, we're starting to have some competition. Well, in a video, she talked about women's health care rights, criminal justice reform, fixing income inequality. On her website, in a press release, she's also listing things like her BPA-Free Kids Act to make baby bottles non-toxic, speaking against Foxconn and against Elon Musk. She's also, you know, I'm in Madison. She's also a little bit of a wonk, and I don't think that always gets seen. But she, earlier this year, I was helping a reporter cover a story where she was talking about housing and ADUs, accessible dwelling units, and WIDA tax credits. So she, you know, she's been legislating for a while. Child care counts was another big issue in the last couple of years. And of course, one of her priorities, being the former executive director of NARAL Pro-Choice Wisconsin, is abortion. So, she's the fourth Democrat to announce. Of course, we also have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, beer vendor Ryan Sternad, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, as you mentioned. There's also Zachary Roper, who has filed paperwork, and on the Republican side, businessman Bill Berrien and Washington County Executive Josh Shulman. I suspect this isn't the last person to announce. We still have a while to go.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We do.
The fields are going to be huge on both sides.
Yeah, but it's Wisconsin, so that means we're going to beat this to death.
Yep. We still have more than a year to go until the election, a little less than before the fall primary now. Also of note, WEDIC Secretary and CEO Missy Hughes is resigning her position, and that could potentially signal a gubernatorial run. That's credit to Wispolitics. One last thing to say about Kelda Royce is I talked with her after Tony Governor Evers announced that he wouldn't run for a third term. There was an article with her in the Cap Times in early August where in both conversations, reading that article in the Cap Times and in speaking with her, you know, she's expressed real concern about her safety and security running for governor.
Sure.
And I, you know, she did say she didn't feel a significant rush to announce a decision, right? As you said, we have a long time to go. It's going to feel like a long time too. She didn't say that part. But
14 months.
Yeah. She also talked about, you know, running for governor in a time of increased political violence, which I think is all very much on our minds right now. But this was right after the shooting of Mark and Melissa Hortman and killing of Mark and Melissa Hortman. She told the Cap Times that she was considering her security and that of her family and people who share her last name when she's running for governor. And if I can quote them, she told the Cap Times, "What feels different now is the permission given to really violent rhetoric, not just nasty and personal. As a woman who's been on the internet for 20 years, I'm kind of numb to all the ways I can be told that I'm fat or ugly or stupid or whatever, but a genuine safety concern that feels very different because of the way that the Trump administration has really given permission to some of the most violent elements in our society," unquote. So it's a long quote, but
it's a very real concern, though. I mean, absolutely. That's something that a lot of people had to reckon with last week. I mean, we should be reckoning with it all the time, but in this situation, and I don't want to go too deep into the event because we all know, but those who work in media who make their living off of giving opinion or at the very least reporting news that people don't like, we all had to sit back and go, okay, like you really had to do some thinking. So I understand that completely.
It's terrifying. It is. And I want to say that I have been saying this for the last 10 years when I believe things really started to change and the rhetoric really started to change. I have never, even 10 years ago, I had never seen so many people looking forward to the opportunity to commit violence on the other. That has been a really shocking, really horrifying development in the last decade, I think.
Yeah,
last week we did a story, our news team did a story about Wisconsin lawmakers considering their own security after the Charlie Kirk assassination. And, you know, Speaker Robin Voss commenting that, look, most political or most violence happens in people's homes, right? Or out, at least outside the Capitol, right? So increased security at the Capitol, what is that going to do?
I have seen calls for, though, because there aren't metal detectors.
No, and very pointedly so, right? It's the people's house.
Right.
It's a public space. I mean, I've talked with Todd about this. I don't know if you have, but he has some opinions about it as well, right? Being a former staffer in the state capitol, he's like, are you really going to have fourth graders line up outside the capitol on their field trip
to go through a metal detector?
Yes, because that's what you have to do sometimes. Sorry, I don't mean to get heated, but like, I feel like you're introducing a hypothetical inconvenience. But still, at the end of the day, we're talking about the safety of others. And if one of those fourth graders are the victims of violence in a house that has no security, those parents are going to be upset. And also, I'm going to go back to something that State Senator Chris Kapinga said in an interview he did with Upfront this year. He said that he believes that only elected officials should be able to carry weapons in that room, and they should be able to defend nobody else except for security and them, because he feels their lives are at risk of being harmed, and therefore, of course, he should be able to carry a weapon. I think that's also incorrect. I don't think that elected officials should be able to carry weapons. Their job is not to protect the people. The security guards' jobs are to protect the people. Once again, I apologize for getting heated, but I feel like, especially now, a little inconvenience, which brings a little bit more security, is absolutely justified, in my opinion, personally. So
I think that's an interesting topic to carry on, and we'll bring that back.
Exactly.
We'll bring
that
back, because this problem is not going away,
nope.
Tragically.
No.
The problem is not going away. If you're just joining us, our guest is Civic Media's news director, Shally Pittman, is here on just bringing us up to speed on some things happening in Wisconsin, talking about Kelda Royce announcing this morning that she is jumping into the governor's race as a Democrat. This is purely speculative, Shally, but Josh Call is still one, Attorney General Josh Call. There's been speculation. Will he? Won't he? I don't know. He doesn't seem, does he or doesn't he?
It's a real Ross and Rachel.
Yeah, I know. It's like, but I don't think he's going to run.
You know, he's been pretty mum, and it's not for lack of trying from reporters.
To get him on the record for something?
Yes. Yeah. Just after Governor Evers announced he wouldn't run for a third term, there was a press conference.
It was
a little more than a press conference. It was Sade Robinson's mother, right? Violence Against Women. So he was there, and of course, reporters wanted to ask him about his
run.
And they did so. Some did so during the press conference, and were rebuked. But outside, you know, he was pretty mum, and I have nothing to say at this time. And I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, and I think at an event like that, it's pretty good to stay to be like, we're not here for this right now. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah, exactly. And you know, as you mentioned, Sholly, this is a topic which will be discussed for many, many more months, to the point where we're going to be so angry at talking about elections again in Wisconsin, because we're always in election season. But there will be questions about Josh Call as far as like his inability to move quickly on. Putting forth a prosecution against those who tried to overthrow the election through the fake electors, which, you know,
that's done.
It's going through the courts now, but a lot of people will see that as too little too late. So I will be very interested to see, one, if he makes the announcement, and two, what even Democrats will say to his running, and will they be for it? But that's when he makes the announcement, you will let us know and we will talk about it then.
One note about that, our inbox seems to be flooded nowadays in the last couple of months with Wisconsin has signed on to a lawsuit opposing Trump administration X, Y, and Z. So there seems to be at least many many Wisconsin signing on to lawsuits from him. Not a ton coming from Wisconsin, though, where Wisconsin is leading the charge.
Yeah.
And then we do still have, of course, the Republican side. And something interesting that was in the Journal Sentinel this morning, Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson says it's not his place to steer the Republican Party of Wisconsin. That's not his job. He's kind of like, yeah, whatever happens in Wisconsin, I have my things over here.
Which actually I don't disagree with to a certain extent. When you, I understand that, you know, the GOP of Wisconsin, it's its own entity, and they have a leader in Brian Schimming. And people are either really happy with him or don't like him at all. But that's, I don't know what influence Ron Johnson would truly have on the Wisconsin GOP as a machine.
Well,
running
I think
that, forward.
But I think it's part of it is monetary, because it's all about raising money. Mm-hmm. It's all about bringing in cash to it. And he's essentially saying, that's not my job.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not my job. I do my job here, he says, at the U.S. Capitol. When asked about his role as being a top Republican in Wisconsin, I never had any aspirations of being the party leader, even though back in 2019, he said he did embrace being the titular head of the Republican Party after Democrats swept statewide races that year.
Gotcha.
Not anymore, though.
Well, you know, Governor Evers has said somewhat of the same thing about the Democratic primary, right? He said, I'm not going to pick anyone yet, I believe, right? And part of the reason why is because this is a rare election, or will be a rare election year. I'm reading the same JS Online article you are. But this is the first open gubernatorial race since 2010.
Yeah.
Right.
It's been a long time.
And then before that, that was the first open race since 1982.
Oh, my gosh.
So this is an interesting moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It very much is, because and to look at the numbers, when you look at the presidential election versus state local elections, Supreme Court specifically, the way it reflects Wisconsin is so weird. It's very purple. It really is very. So it'll be interesting to see. What we'll do next.
Sholly Pittman is here, Civic Media News Director. When we return, flags. That's what everybody's worried about. The state of flags. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back. to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewers are off today. A little loss yesterday. Doesn't matter.
I told you, we don't talk about losses.
Saturday's game was great.
I went to bed on Saturday night thinking, okay. And I woke up the next morning and I, to no one, yelled, "Good job, boys!" To no one.
Yeah, they came back in the 10th.
I think so,
They came back in the 10th. Yeah. It was pretty amazing.
And they also clinched a playoff spot. And
so they deserve a day of rest today. They will be back in action tomorrow. Brewers hosting the Angels. Our broadcast starts tomorrow at 6:05, and you can listen on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Ridgeland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, and here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN 99.9 FM 1400 AM. Crew hosting the LA Angels tomorrow. It starts at 6:05. Right now, Shally Pittman is here, Civic Media News Director. We were talking before the break about Kelda Royce jumping into the governor's race. And I guess Eric from Wauwatosa is on the line. We'll take you real quickly, Eric, before we move on. Good morning, Eric. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. Real quickly, I would just like to say I just heard the news about Kelda Royce on your show, so that's great. I voted for her in 2018. I had hoped she'd be governor then, and she'll make a great governor. I will vote for her in the primary and the general election 6 times over before I ever touched Josh Call's candidacy.
Yeah.
So, all right. No offense to Josh Call, but I think he was waiting for Kelda Royce to decide because he can't beat Kelda Royce, I don't believe. So he'll be good staying as AG if he picks up a few more things.
But I appreciate it, Eric. Thank you.
Wow.
I don't think he's good. Again, I think there were a lot of people who were upset by his lack of action, is how people perceived it. And him just not doing enough. And so I think that would really work against him if he jumped in.
Plus, as a statewide elected official, he has probably more name recognition than most of them. So therefore, the fact that he didn't pounce on it and go first or second says a lot
kind
as well.
Indicative. Yeah, so. We wanted to talk a little bit about flags.
I love flags.
I know. And
are you not a vexillologist?
No. Serious glass-wearing, paisley-jacketed nerd, you. Oh, my God.
I mean, I understand some of these arguments. At the same time, there are so many other issues in this country. Mm-hmm.
Flags are important.
In this state that I would say are more important than flags. Sure. But we're going to talk about flags because they're talking about flags in the Wisconsin state capitol.
Well, I've registered your discontent with the subject. However, there's been a lot going on.
There is.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I this has an undertone to it in my eyes. Maybe at the end you'll agree with
me.
But let's get into it. So last Thursday, by the way, I was up in Green Bay training our new reporter, Connie Fellman. I'm so excited about it.
Welcome, Connie.
So I watched this after the fact, but there were all sorts of items up in an assembly floor session last Thursday, which was September 11th. Mm-hmm. There were bills on an in-person office work for state employees. There was a bill on exempting tobacco bars from a public smoking ban, recognizing Hispanic Heritage Month. But you're right, I do want to talk about flags instead. There's a bill in the state capitol that would prohibit any other flag than a lot of flags, really, but other than the U.S. flag in the state of Wisconsin and a number of other exemptions from being flown above the state capitol or from any local government, municipal building, school building, etc.
Yes. Okay. Got it.
Now, let's talk about what this bill also exempts, and then I'll tell you what it doesn't exempt.
I see where this is going.
Right.
Continue.
Okay.
Yes.
So the bill also exempts in a carve out POW or MIA flags or other military veteran flags a flag of a local governmental unit, a flag of firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, or first responders, or in instances of special, ceremonial, or occasional purposes, a flag of federally recognized tribe or band, a flag of a state or territory of the U.S., a flag of a foreign nation in some kind of ceremonial instances. Also, a flag that borders Wisconsin at a shared weighing station or at a port of entry, or a flag of a school or university of a mascot. So, that's
so those
a lot
are all
of,
included. You can hang those flags.
That's a lot of exceptions. There's some wiggle room for those special ceremonial or occasional purposes, like mm-hmm. when a dignitary visits.
Yes.
But here's not what's not included. A flag related to a political party, a political or social cause, quote unquote, a sexual orientation or gender identity, yeah. a political, ideological, or religious viewpoint, a gang of extremist groups as designated by the FBI, and, quote, a flag that's been used for or is used for ceremonial purposes and was designed to recognize a holiday, unquote.
So just to make sure, we're not going to be flying the flag of gay pride and the Juggalos. So good. All right. We're good to go. We're safe.
Well, so Governor Evers, when he took his first spring in office, 2019. Yep. I have that right in my head. So long ago. In 2019, he became the first to fly the pride flag.
Yeah, right.
Right. Above, hoist it on up above the state capitol. And then the following year, he flew the Juneteenth flag. In 2020, right? And so those are the two flags that I can think of.
Yes.
That have prompted this whole thing.
You
One
know,
wonders.
This has been, this bill has changed a little bit. It would have caused more complications, I think, in the beginning for municipalities. But yeah, that's where we are. Representative Jerry O'Connor says it's not the role of government to pick the winners and losers on partisan and activist issues.
Shally Pittman is Civic Media's news director. She's fantastic. She joins us every Monday. Thank you so very much, Shally. We have news coming up next. When we return, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here to talk the return of measles. Mm. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay with us. We are coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. Pick us up in Portugal on the app, baby, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.